Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
No time for a nap, John.
Not with the exciting news we're having on today. Lisa Petroselli just left, and Lisa is with the incubator at Hofstra, which is, does wonderful stuff for people in need. And actually, I'm involved with the Unitarian Congregation, and they gave them $100,000 last year to fund it. And she does a wonderful job on a budget. So people that are involved with grants, with areas that have money, call 311 and get in touch with her, because those are the kind of programs that have to be maintained in this country. Now we have another Lisa coming on, Lisa Tyson. And I met Lisa in passing twice in the last 6 months, but I didn't read her bio. And when I did preparing for this, it's shocking. I mean, and I'm not making light of this, it's Mother Teresa and then Lisa. What you have accomplished, what you've done, honestly, on Long Island, it's tremendous. And as the director of Long Island Progressive Coalition, there's areas, it's Power Up Community, Sustainable Development, the Fair Elections. You're touching everything that's important to the people, and you're doing it with grace and class, and you're getting things accomplished.
Thank you.
It's an honor. And I going directionally on this conversation, I'm having to throw it back to you, because there was so much stuff. I'm saying, where do you start?
That was a question I had.
Okay,
how
really?
How do you pick your spots?
Right.
How do you pick your issues, right? Like,
yeah.
What to work on?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I have the best job in the world.
Good.
So lucky to be able to do this. It's an organization that's been around since 1979. And there's a board of directors, and we have a very different model than most organizations. Our staff are board of directors. They sit at the board. We all work together, staff and board members. And that helps determine what policies we support and where do we, what effort do we put into what campaigns. Our challenge is we're multi-issue. We can work on one day fair elections. Next day, we're working on climate change. And the day after that, we're going to be working on jail issues. And it's very hard to fund an organization like ours because of that. We're not so laser sharp focused in one area like the environment, something you can really dig deep in. But our challenge on Long Island is that we are a very Long Island. We have many diverse issues. We're part of a state that there's many issues and problems with. And so we try to pick issues that we're going to make a difference on. Those things that we can actually, by us participating in it, we could be that margin of victory.
Okay.
Whether it's for a candidate, because we do support candidates, where we are a 501c4 organization, we can lobby unlimited, and we can also support candidates. So if we're going to support a candidate, we want to be that margin of victory. But on an issue like global climate change right now, this really exciting campaign called New York Renews, part of a statewide organization really leading with environmental justice. And it's probably not even on our website yet, or
pieces
of it, because you know these things happen pretty quickly. And
So
we try to work in coalition with unions, with environmental justice groups, social justice groups, community organizations, churches. Unitarian Church has been a huge partner for so many issues, from environmental issues, fair elections, you know, trying to really change the dynamics, progressive taxation, things of that nature.
It's a congregation that really is. The social justice arm of that congregation is just, it's tremendous. And they fortunately have money, and they try to put their money where their mouth is. So it's not a matter of
They've supported us for very, very many years. And the greatest thing about that foundation is that they actually give organization support. Most foundations give it so you have to pitch a project. But you can't build a movement around a project.
Right, okay.
And so that's why the funding that that Shelter Rock Unitarians give is just the best funding you get.
Right, they're giving it to you.
Yes.
And trusting
and we get to do what we need to
okay.
do with it, which
right.
is why we can take on fair elections without any other money. It's why we can take on issues that we don't have any funding for. It's the only way. And that's actually why we can take on Trump right now, which we are doing.
Right.
We have to. We're progressives.
What is your biggest issue
He's
taking on right now, if you don't mind? We'll do it this way. Because honestly, there's so many. We had Ryan was on. I think his name is Ryan.
Ryan.
Power Up Communities,
which
is
awesome.
Tremendous. That's
a
great,
it's a great program.
A great program. YIMBY.
In my backyard. We're
I know
doing
what that means
right
conceptually.
Yes. So you know, we've worked in the town of North Hempstead. We're working somewhere else right now. Basically, we get people to support affordable housing. It's so easy to say, no, I don't want it. in my neighborhood, on my block. So many people say they support affordable housing, just don't put it next to me. So what we do is we mobilize supporters in the community to go to town board, to actually write a letter, to speak to their town supervisors, their council person, and to say, you know what? I do support it. I'm a voter. I'm a resident. I support it. And I need to give you courage, because so many elected officials say they support affordable housing. But when there's 200 people, and you can ask John Kamen, when there's 200 people who show up at town board angry, really angry, with horrible signs, and I mean, accessory apartments in North Hempstead, it was passed. We worked on that. A couple of weeks later, it was rescinded.
I remember that was 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, and that was a hearing I was really scared to be at. There's a few times in my life I've been scared for my own life and for my staff's life. I remember a woman from Ecuador who worked for me. People were going up to being like, you don't deserve to be here. Get out of this room. You don't speak English. She spoke English. She was a citizen. Wow. And it was that racist. And so the whole concept of YIMBY is, yes, you know, whether it's a good development, not just affordable housing, you know, yes, it's right, and we got to give you credit.
Affordable housing to me is an area that we seem to be going in completely opposite direction. We talked about the apartments they put up in Mineola on.
All Country Road.
The cheapest place there is $3,000 a month.
Wow.
Then on the corner of New Hyde Park Road and the Long Island Expressway, the Ritz-Carlton took all this land and knocked down all these trees, and they built a complex of $1 million to $4 million condos.
Right.
Wow.
And affordable housing, I don't think, is just for the people who are low, and I respect the fact that there are a lot of really poverty-ridden people, but there are a lot of other people that sort of on the edge, you know?
Yeah.
And Long Island is becoming very difficult for people who are on the edge, a higher number than before.
Yeah.
And whenever there's an opportunity to build something, it comes down to politics and money and business. And the bottom line is they build places that a lot of people can't afford, yet obviously a lot of people can't afford them. I mean, I see these houses being knocked down. They paid $600,000 for a house, knock it down, put one up that cost another $600,000. And where does that change?
On Long Island, I think it's new money construction is so expensive.
Right.
Which is the issue. So, I mean, if you're putting, you know, if you took a building in Brooklyn or Astoria that was built in the 70 years ago, you know, that was 50 cents on the, well, not 50 cents on the dollar, a couple of dollars a square foot. Now, these guys are spending four and five. And my understanding is they go to the government, the local government, and just if they give three or four of in that apartment complex to low income, but even low income, you're still being scrutinized.
Right. Well,
you're not getting low. I mean,
there's a requirement for 10%.
We passed
this called the DiNapoli-Balboni bill when Tom DiNapoli was in the Assembly and Balboni was in the Senate. It's 10%. The problem is they could just put money into a fund if they don't want it on site. We always fight for on site affordable housing.
What do you mean? Put it.
Put it where? So it's one development. So it needs to be mixed income. The affordable units need to be just mixed in with everyone else. You can't. You know, it shouldn't be on a different side of town. Or put into a fund to be put into a low-income area, right? There is a requirement. Every project has to have 10%. But we haven't seen large numbers of units because the developers get around it. They don't want to do it. We're hoping to change the law, actually, make it a little better. And 10% is not enough. We need to probably go up to more like 20, 25%.
On Long Island, you have to.
Yeah, and we're talking about people at 80, 120 percent of median income. We're not talking about Section 8, which everyone thinks
we are.
Right,
right.
And we need a rental housing, affordable rental. We work with the developer who gets federal tax credits, which are awesome. It really helps lower those prices so people can actually afford these units. But rental apartments, unless you're going to be in someone's basement or stuck with your parents, there's just no options. And when we look at the workforce, if you talk to business people, they're not able to hire people with the type of skills that they want because no one could afford to live here and rent a place in a temporary. When you're ready to buy a house, that's one thing, which it's very expensive, or to keep your property taxes going. But who is going to move to Long Island for a good job unless they can actually afford it and that job doesn't pay that money?
You have to make, take a $3,000 a month rent.
crazy.
That's 36,000 a year net,
right,
which comes down to about 44,000 gross,
yeah, right,
which means if you're one person and you're making 100,000, you got to have
take a teacher
half your income.
A new teacher who starts at $60,000 and needs a car to drive to her job, so
exactly,
there's insurance and payments on the car,
exactly,
and probably a student loan to boot.
$3,000 doesn't work. I mean, average is like $1,400 for a one bedroom or a studio. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just incredible. And it really, you know, it all comes down to everything that we work on, I believe, is progressive taxation. When you look at property taxes, which are highly regressive, just the whole taxing system on every level of government, we used to have a progressive income tax that people who make $250,000 and over. You know, this is where really the big difference is. If we could stop having such high property taxes on Long Island, do more like the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a progressive income tax, higher income levels pay more money. That's just the way the world works. It's what's fair, not a flat tax. Then we can actually start, you know, dealing with some of these problems of housing on Long Island. I mean, seniors are being taxed out of their homes.
Oh.
Cash rich, cash poor,
cash
house
poor.
Rich.
I have them as clients. We have clients that are in good neighborhoods. They have their Social Security and their 401k that they're draining off. But all of a sudden, you need a new car. And they have $2 million houses. They hate to sell them.
Right. And their houses are falling apart because they can't put the money into it. They're living into one part of the house.
Yeah.
There's no way to go to downsize.
But that's exactly it.
So you have to go to Florida.
Exactly.
And they leave all their kids and grandkids.
But you know, Florida's not so cheap anyway now either.
No.
And who wants to go to Florida?
That's the point. You have great-grandchildren here. Who wants to leave?
Actually, a lot of people who go to Florida come back.
It's not as cheap as it used to be. And, you know, it's still...
It's a life... What's important to you? You know, I have a lot of grandchildren who live happily, fortunately for me, still in this part of the world. So why would I want to go away from that?
You can't see them every day, but you want to have that option. Like, they're around on Saturday. I'm taking a ride over.
Right.
And it would be nice. I mean, there's so many nice, beautiful apartment complexes here with a pool, with all the amenities. You just don't have the warm weather that you might have in Florida. But it all comes down to taxes. You know, and our tax structure, and it needs to be significantly revisited.
Well, if we could start Long Island from scratch, all right, and have maybe one school system.
Oh, my God. I think we have 600 governments on Long Island. We have over 120 election days alone.
How many school districts do
there we have? There are 125 school districts.
Okay. And how many people do we have that are supervisors and whatever? I don't want to get into
Okay, well, supervisors, there's 10 towns, I think 2 cities. Something like that. It's a lot. And think about water districts, garbage districts. They all have their own entities. We worked for a while. We failed horribly, unfortunately, to dissolve a garbage district and to merge with another garbage district. Same union, half the price for the garbage service. Same pickup days and everything. And we lost horribly. We went to referendum. It was a horrible.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No.
I'm going to interrupt you to take a break.
Okay,
you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Lisa Tyson.